are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's get straight into it. Psalm 119, verse 105, and I think we've got that on the screens. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And so I thought I'd get a little lantern here. Just cuz. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for your word. It's so amazing. I thank you so much for the access that we have to it. Lord, I just pray that my words will be your words tonight. If you have anything you want to change, Lord, I just pray that you'd move. We want to listen to you tonight. We want to hear what you have for us tonight. Amen. So the title of my message tonight is Let the Lamp Lead. And I said last time that I love Narnia, so I had to include a Narnia photo in this somewhere. It just always happens. And so that's the theme for tonight. And so I want to talk about a guy called Ananias. And I absolutely love the book of Acts. It's probably my favorite book in there. And Ananias is sort of one of these guys that's mentioned a little bit, but there's not much on him. And it wasn't until I actually read through it, but there's actually three Ananiases, if you didn't know that, which is pretty cool. The second one is the one that we've all heard about. And he was a disciple, he was a follower of Christ, and he would have just been going about his life, just doing God stuff, doing life with God, reading the scriptures, whatever manuscripts they had then, and listening to the Spirit. And he heard from God one day, who gave him this unbelievable task, and we read about it in Acts 9. I think we've got it on the screens. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, which I would assume is a straight street. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. Now, we all know Saul. Saul's this guy who basically hates Christians. He was the son of a Pharisee, and so he absolutely loved following the law right down to the letter, and he followed the law of Moses. And then these guys came around and started speaking the good news, speaking the gospel message, and Saul didn't like that. And so we read about Saul a little bit. We hear that he breathed threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And he was present at the stoning of a guy called Stephen, who was a martyr for Christ. And so he's not a very great guy. And this is the Saul that Ananias is hearing about from God. For behold, he is praying. This is what God said to Ananias. He is praying and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias, of which Ananias would have said, Oh, that's me. Come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name, which is Ananias. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. What a calling. And what happened next? Ananias went out and obeyed, which is quite unbelievable. It's such an incredible act. And I don't think he gets enough credit for what he did. His step of obedience in that one move, that enabled Saul to go out and minister to people and begin this massive chain reaction of preaching of the gospel. And Saul's ministry, or Paul's ministry, was, in my mind, the most fruitful ministry that there has ever been, second to Jesus' ministry himself. But it's such an unbelievable flow of events that came from one step of obedience from Ananias. He didn't know what God had already done behind the scenes, which made it even more incredible. He didn't know what God had done with Saul on the road to Damascus, but he stepped out in faith and in obedience, and he followed God's calling anyway. So how do we hear from God? It's a difficult question, because I'm sure all of us sort of hear in different ways God's voice. But I'm sure we can all say that at times it can be quite difficult. And at times we don't know if it's our voice or if it's God's voice or if it's the media's voice, or, you know, it's hard to distinguish that. And it seems that the greater the risk, the more certain we feel we need to be that it's God's calling. And the calling on Ananias, as I see it, had a huge risk, because Saul could have quite easily murdered Ananias, because that's what Saul was coming out to do. So how did Ananias get it right? I was thinking about this for a little bit, and I came across Psalm 119. Has anyone ever read the whole of Psalm 119? It's an incredible chapter. And I actually wrote down in my notes a very long book, which I crossed out and said chapter, but I just naturally wrote book because it's so long. Like, it's longer than some of the other books in the Bible. But Psalm 119 is such an amazing chapter, and it shows the hearts of those who live by faith. And I've got a little bit of some excerpts here. So, you know, I will praise you with an upright heart. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. Isn't this amazing? I will meditate on your precepts. Fix my eyes on your ways. I'm not going to read them all because there's so many motivations there. If you read through it, there's so many amazing phrases that show how people think when they're walking with God. And then sort of around the middle, there's this verse 105, which we read earlier. I think we've got it. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path, which as I was reading through, it sort of felt like the pinnacle of that chapter. And you know, these people who are writing what's on their hearts, how did they do it? Well, this is how they did it. They walked with a lamp for their feet and a light on their path. And this is how I imagine Ananias would have been living life. He would have been living life according to that. He would have been having the motivations that we read in Psalm 119, and he would have been walking along with the scripture, listening to God, doing life with God according to that. I've got a little illustration, if Trent can help me out with this one. So we're talking about light, and so I thought, well, we've got light, and we kind of need some darkness if we're going to talk about light. So, yeah, all the lights are off. Excellent. Now, you probably can't see much light coming from that, but that's okay. I imagine God's word would you know, offset a little bit more light than that. But, you know, walking along, if I'm walking along in life, we got a couple of obstacles. Let's chuck one over there, one here. Bring that one closer. Thanks, Trent. If I'm walking along in life and I can't see what's happening, you know, I might just walk straight into this chair because I can't see it there. But God gives us a lamp for our feet. And we're walking along, and we can't see much, but we come to the chair and we can see the chair, and then we can walk around it. The Bible's very specific with that word. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's not a floodlight. It's not light that can illuminate the entire path and our entire future. It's a lamp. And so we walk along and we see an obstacle and we can avoid it. And we walk along, we see another obstacle and we can avoid it. You know, we don't see the second one because we don't hold a floodlight, but we can see them as we go, as God calls us to see them. If we come up to the first one and we walk around it, and then we do life and we forget about this lamp and we leave it aside, there's two things that can happen because we can't see that chair that's in front of us. Either one, we walk straight into it and we stumble, or two, we feel so afraid of walking that we just stand here and we can't do anything because we're so afraid of walking, and we become stagnant in that. Thanks, Matt. We can bring them back up. And that's how I see living by the lamp and letting the lamp lead us. We're called to follow Jesus, using his word to guide our way. As long as we're walking, as long as we're following him, as long as we're following his calling, following what he has to say to us, we are doing everything that he's commanded us to do. And so if we're doing that, why is it that sometimes we feel like we're not achieving anything? Why is it that sometimes we feel like, you can leave the lights on for this one, but why is it that sometimes we feel like we're going around and we're just walking around in circles and, you know, we're doing life. We're reading the Bible. Great thing. We're going to church. Great thing. We're going to work. Great thing. But it doesn't feel like we're achieving much because it feels like we're doing the same thing over and over again. Nothing seems to be changing. I want to say tonight, that's okay. Because sometimes that's where God needs us. See, we don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. Ananias didn't know what God had done with Saul, but he was still doing life the right way. And he was still listening. We heard this morning, Chris talked about listening. He was actively listening to God's voice. We don't have to know what God's doing behind the scenes. We just have to be obedient in it. When God plans a door for us to walk through, it might take some time. And it might feel like we're walking in circles because he's taking us the long way. Maybe we haven't learnt everything we need to learn before we can go into somewhere else. Maybe God hasn't developed the situation enough before we can go somewhere else. Maybe God hasn't developed us enough before we can go somewhere else. And maybe God hasn't developed the other person enough before we can go somewhere else. God had not developed Saul enough for Ananias to step into the opportunity before he had done so. And so Ananias might have said to God, well, God, I'm doing everything you want me to do, but I want more. And God would have said to him, well, yeah, great, but I'm not ready for that yet. Saul's not ready for that yet. You just wait to see what I have for you. Trent, if you can get the other prop out as well, that'd be great. What would happen if we could see everything that God did? Have you ever asked that question? If we could see everything that God did, what would you do? You know, struggling there, Trent. Spring at center, thanks. If we could see everything that God did, we wouldn't need this because it's just a little flimsy lamp. Because I can clearly see the door right now that God has for me. And although I'm walking around in circles here learning and gaining things from God and growing and reading my Bible and doing everything God wants me to do, I see there's a door right there and I know that that's where God's going to take me. Why would I not just walk through it right away? And I think that's what I would do. If I could see everything that God did and I could see the destination that God was taking me, I would go straight there because I'm an impatient person and God's helping me with that over time. But that's what I would do. And it'd be before I was ready. Often it's the journey that he wants more for us. God uses the journey to prepare us for the destination. There's this story that I came across in a TV show, Home Improvement, if you've ever watched it. It's an excellent show, and I highly recommend it to any of you who want a bit of a laugh. But there's this man in it called Wilson, and he's a very, very wise man. And he tells this story, and he said, there once was this little boy in Africa who wanted to give his teacher a gift, but he had no money. So he walked 2 days to the ocean, and he picked up a handful of sand and walked 2 days back, and he gave it to her. And she was greatly moved by the gift, and she said, but it was so far for you to walk. And he said, teacher, the journey is part of the gift. John 10:10 is probably the most quoted verse, and it was quoted this morning again, of course, because that's what we do at LMC. It says that God came to give us abundant life. How do you read that? Because if you read that as saying, God's come here to give us our desires of our hearts and all our wants right now, right as we want them, then it's probably not the right way. Do you think it means that he'll give us all our desires, all our wants? Maybe the things that he's teaching you in the mundane are part of his gift. Maybe as I'm walking along holding my lantern and doing life with God, maybe he's teaching me patience. Maybe I walk along and the next year he teaches me kindness. You know, walking through the door is great, but that's not what God has for us. That's a very small part. God has so much for us along the way. Don't diminish the benefit of obedience, and don't forget that God has a reason for putting you where you are. Take delight in that. There is so much to gain in the waiting process. I've got another movie, the other one was a TV show, but I've got another movie that's great, and it's Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium, if you've seen it. I love it. And it focuses on finding delight and finding enjoyment in the mundane and in the ordinary, and seeing the value of something, even if it's just a little thing. And there's two main characters, Mr. Magorium and a girl called Molly Mahoney. And in this one scene, which is an amazing scene, they've just set up this incredible flow of events to happen. And they've got 37 seconds before it's going to happen. And so Molly says to Mr. Magorium, "Now we wait." To which Mr. Magorium replies, "No, we breathe, we pulse, we regenerate. Our hearts beat, our minds create, our souls ingest. 37 seconds well used is a lifetime." I thought that was excellent. There is so much to gain in waiting, and we don't just stand there when we wait. And God makes us wait, but He doesn't just leave us there. If waiting was all that life was, then it wouldn't be that exciting. It's great, but He doesn't just leave us there. Every now and then in the mundane, He gives us opportunities. Ananias is such a good example of this. He was doing the mundane, and then he got an opportunity. I was thinking about others, and Mary is such an incredible example of that too. She, and if you've seen the kids' picture books, usually she's sweeping a floor, because that's what she's doing. And so she's sweeping her floor, doing the mundane, doing what God's called her to do. And then suddenly He snaps His fingers and He says, "You're going to have a son. Now, you're a virgin, but you're going to have a son. And even more so, he's going to be my child, the very Son of God." If that's not an amazing opportunity, I don't know what is. In the mundane obedience, God suddenly snaps His fingers and opens an opportunity for us. Someone say that He opens a door for us. So I've got another illustration here, if we can turn down the lights as well. Dramatic. All the way. So I'm walking along with my lantern. I'm being obedient. I'm going to church, reading my Bible every day. I'm doing life, doing everything God's got for me. And I'm walking along, and out of some of the light from this lamp, I see a door. And it's an opportunity that I think God might have for me. So I go up and I check it, and it's locked. What do I do? Well, I think to myself, okay, well, maybe God doesn't have that for me. Maybe that's an opportunity for someone else to walk through. So I keep on walking. I'm doing life, reading my Bible, going to church, going to work, and it comes up again. And so I go up and I check it, and it's locked. So I do it again. Keep on walking, read my Bible, go to church, pray, worship. I come across it again, and suddenly it's unlocked. And it's an opportunity that God has finally unlocked for me, even though before it was locked. Now it's unlocked, and now I can step through and go through. We'll leave the lights down for a sec. There's another situation where I'm walking along, I'm doing life, I don't even see the door, but suddenly it cracks open a little bit and light comes from it, and I see it. And it gets my attention, because that's what light does. When light comes, we see it. If you've ever sat around dinner with a group of people and someone's phone is on the table and someone gets a text, everyone looks at the phone, because that's what you do, because light gets everyone's attention. And so I go up to it and I say, "Oh, wow, God's opened this door for me. You know, it's not all the way. I still have to do some stuff here. But God's opened this door for me, and I say, God, please bless this decision if it's what you have for me. If it's not what you have for me, please stop me from going through. And I walk through. Thanks, Trent. Thanks, Matt. Sometimes the doors will be locked, so if we try them, we can't seem to get through, and things seem to keep on happening that stop us from walking through. And while it sucks because we see it as such an amazing opportunity and we think, God, I really want to go through there. Why can't we? You know, it's going to be good. God has such a bigger picture in mind than what we ever do. And so we try them and we can't seem to get through. And, you know, maybe the door's not for you. Maybe that's the case. Maybe that door is for someone else. And very possibly that could be it. But also maybe God hasn't prepared everything for you to enter through just yet. When everything's ready, he'll unlock that door for you. Don't worry about that. Often they'll be closed and it was unlocked. And it took me to actually go up and test it out and actually physically turn the handle and open it to find out that it was actually something that God wanted me to do. All God did was sit here, as Trent did, and unlock it, which that in itself is amazing, but, you know, to actually make things possible for us to walk through. But he didn't actually open it and swing it wide open. Very rarely does God do that. Often they'll be closed, but maybe God's already unlocked it, waiting for you to turn the handle. You won't know until you test it out. Wouldn't it be terrible if I was walking around and I saw the door and I tested out and it was locked and I just gave up? And so I just kept on walking around. You know, this stuff here is great and God can use us in this. But God has a massive plan in mind. And if we don't walk through that door, we're not being fully obedient to his calling. This is great. But if we're not testing that door to see if this is something that God has for us, we're not being fully obedient. If we're too afraid to test the door, we're not being fully obedient to God. It takes our action to open and walk through a door. There's not many times where God will fling the door wide open and push you through because he doesn't do that. That's not in God's nature. And so that being said, should we just go around and walk through doors and push them open and force our way through every single time we see an opportunity? Well, no. When a door is presented to you, don't be afraid to test it out and even walk through, but do so with wisdom. And so I've got 5 points I want to share quickly with you. That we should be doing before we go through a door. And I've got a scripture for each one. I won't dwell on it too much, but I love scripture. So the first is pray for guidance. In Proverbs 28, it says, "A man is a fool to trust himself, but those who use God's wisdom are safe." God, please guide me through if this is what you want me to do. The second is seek good counsel. This church, if it has anything, has an abundance of good people and good counsel and good pastors. And I have probably about 4 very, very close people in this church who I do life with. And if you don't have one, please get onto someone and just grab them and say, "Hey, can I chat to you?" Because this church has so much to offer in that one. Proverbs 20:24, "The more good advice you get, the more likely you are to win." Proverbs 11, "When there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety." So I might get someone else up here and I might say, "Hey, I see this door over here. You know me, you know the door, you know what I've been through. Do you think this is a good thing for me?" The third is use the word as a plumb line. If you don't know what a plumb line is, it's quite simple. It's a bit of string with a weight attached to it, and it's used to make sure that people know what straight is, what a vertical straight is when they're building a house or when they're doing construction. In short, it's a guideline. It's something that we can measure our actions against to make sure we're doing the right thing. Psalm 119, as we've read many times, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. You know, I see the door and I think, well, all right, let's just see if this is something that's in Scripture, you know, and I see, all right, well, you know, God wants us to work. Maybe it's a job opportunity. God wants us to work, and, you know, God can use me to minister to these people. Maybe that's a good thing. The fourth is to be smart. And it's not very philosophical, but it's very important. Use your wits, because God's made every one of you smart. Proverbs 13, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. I like that. Proverbs 22, a prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequence. So those four are the things that you do before you walk through a door. And the fifth is really, really important. Because if you've done all four of those and you still think, well, everyone seems to think it's good. The Scripture sort of backs it up. God's saying, yeah, okay. And according to my own knowledge, it sort of makes sense to go through. We can still see flaws in pathways and doors. Ecclesiastes 11, if you wait until the wind and the weather are just right, you will never plant anything and never harvest anything. This is so important. You might see flaws, or you might not see perfection in this pathway, but trust God to work those things out. The uni course, the job offer, the girl, the guy, the opportunity might not present itself to be perfect, because remember that we have a limited view. We don't see everything. What might be a flaw in our eyes could be very, very valuable in God's eyes in the bigger plan later on. If it's not perfect, that's okay. Be prepared to live by faith. If you followed, again, if you followed the first four steps, don't go straight to number five, but if you followed the first four steps, be prepared to live by faith. Remember that your field of view is very small. Know who's in charge, and trust God to guide you where you need to go. If you follow those five, walking through doors will be quite easy. And it's still going to take time, it's still going to take effort, but these will make decisions so much easier for you, because it's such a solid set of instructions. So as we finish up tonight, there's two challenges I want to leave you with. The first is, are you walking by the lamp? In the first illustration, we had to use the lamp to avoid the chairs, and we had to use the lamp to get where God wants us to go. If we leave the lamp behind, we can't do that. Have you put it aside? Come back under Jesus' guidance and follow where his lamp, his word, calls you to go. And the second challenge is, are there untested doors in your life? Have you become too comfortable in the waiting? This stuff is great, but maybe God has more for you. Maybe he's waiting for you to take a step of faith and walk into where he's calling you. And when it comes down to it, all it is obedience. God asks us to go somewhere, we go there. My oppa has something written on his gravestone, and you're going to have to help me out here. I can't quite remember the wording. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. If that's all it is, if that's all that you can say, then that's good enough. If God said it and you believe it, then that settles it. And follow where he calls you to go. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your guidance, for your love. We are so happy to be in relationship with you and to do life with you. Lord, I just pray that as we go throughout the week, that we will remember this and that we will put this into action. Lord, I just pray that you would move in us as we go. And Lord, I just thank you so much for who you are. Amen.